захистить від куль кольоровий шолом для спорту. Ти мріяв про справжню війну у центрі міста на фронті. То все як на справжній війні, справжня смерть, справжня кров, справжній бій. Дерев'яний щит поможе тобі захистить від куль тебе, ангел твій. Дерев'яні щити захистили не всіх, своїм тілом тебе заступив кожен з них. Дерев'яні щити проти куль бойових. На Майдан твій батько пустив тебе, протест обіцяв бути мирним, але ти зустрів на Майдані людей, готових віддати життя за країну, що вірили у свої сили, зводили барикади. Ти вирішив стати з ними у обороні громади. Дерев'яні щити захистили не всіх, своїм тілом тебе заступив кожен з них. Дерев'яні щити проти куль бойових. А коли той день, якого усі чекали, настав, він мусив настати. Лишилися до кінця лиш ті, хто був готовий життя віддати. Нас били, палили, кидали гранати, стріляли снайпери по очах. Ми винесли з бою наших героїв на їх дерев'яних щитах. Дерев'яні щити захистили не всіх, своїм тілом тебе заступив кожен з них. Дерев'яні щити проти куль бойових.
And ethno-fusion group Haidamake from Ukraine with a song called Wooden Shields. And it first came out at the time of bloody clashes between Ukrainian civilians and corrupt authorities during the Maidan Revolution, which began in 2013 at around this time. Wooden shields were just one of the many makeshift articles that civilians used to protect themselves from bullets and other weapons used against them, which sometimes were adequate, other times not. Haidamake with Wooden Shields. Вітаю вас всіх, дорогі радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павіна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm your host, Paula Demchuk-McCory, Pukrinske Pavlina, and I'm delighted to have you with me for this next hour. We've got a great program lined up for you on Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, part two of an interview with Alan Bernstein, the president of the Felstein Society, and he'll be telling us more about some astonishing developments in their preparations for the upcoming commemorations of the pogrom that occurred in Felstein in 1919. On Konechka Corner, a book review, and this is a review of a book that might help you understand the conflict in Ukraine. As well, we've got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And our music on this edition of the show will commemorate the Ukrainian heroes who are valiantly fighting the invaders on their land that started back in 2013. These modern-day Kozake are risking life and limb to protect their country's fragile grasp on its sovereignty and independence, which was won so recently after centuries of bloodshed. They fight today against a regime whose legacy brings only death and destruction to the Ukrainian nation. On the last Saturday of November, Ukrainians commemorate the Holodomor by lighting a candle, and they invite the world to join them. 85 years ago, this regime, housed in the Kremlin but with treacherous agents everywhere, deliberately starved to death millions of Ukrainians in its quest to create a communist utopia. Today, Western idealists are ignorant of or oblivious to the danger and tyranny of this perfidious ideology. Even worse, they support and promote it. Meanwhile, Ukrainian realists are literally dying to stop it from once again poisoning their land and destroying its people. We are coming up to the 5-year mark of the start of the Kremlin's most recent war on Ukraine. So our music today will honor Ukrainian heroes, past and present, those who perished and those who survived, but now, along with their families, continue to fight. Only now their battle is against the physical scars and emotional trauma brought on by this unprovoked and very unnecessary war. As you listen to the music and hear the words spoken in this next hour, please join me in honoring those who perished and those who continue the valiant struggle for freedom to prevent the return and repeat of mass tragedy on Ukrainian land. Up next is a group called Luku, and a very fitting title to this song, which translates loosely as War is Hell, Vina Kurva.
Розриває ланцюгів дощі на ланки, в ефірі сльози, що волаєш, отче наш, і в скрині пилом вже припала вишиванка, та світ розділений на їхній і на наш. Сидиш у тамбурі та думаєш, як жити, від файки очі розтирають до сльози, та скільки вже собі могилу можна рити, коли чорти плюють на твої образи. Війна курва, гра музика, та не хочу того свята, ніби свято, але хочеться кричати, обирати або жити, або вмерти, але я впертий. Війна курва, і вона вже не де юре, а де факто, що поробиш, буду битись без антракту. Обираю, хочу жити, та гей, давай, набої подавай, гей, давай, набої подавай. Коли є лють у серці, там нема любові, та не зважаєш, що в очах пече пісок. З колін вставали караоке чорноброві, співали так, що пронизало до кісток. В кишенях кулі, сигарети та ікони, та в соцмережах пару слів і чорний дим. Заграли струни та задзвонили дзвони, це моя хата, то мій Єрусалім. Війна курва, гра музика, та не хочу того свята, ніби свято, але хочеться кричати, обирати або жити, або вмерти, але я впертий. Війна курва, і вона вже не де юре, а де факто, що поробиш, буду битись без антракту. Обираю, хочу жити, та гей, давай, набої подавай, гей, давай, набої подавай, гей, давай, набої подавай, гей, давай, набої подавай. Музика, та не хочу до свята, ніби свято, але хочеться кричати, обирати або жити, або вмерти, але я впертий. Війна курва, і вона вже не де юре, а де факто, що поробиш, буду битись без антракту. Обираю, хочу. хочу жити там. Ей, давай, набої подавай. Ей, давай, набої подавай. Ей, давай, набої подавай. Ей, давай, набої подавай.
Горіла бочка, диміла. Горіла бочка, димила, під неї дівчина сиріла, під неї дівчина сиріла. Горіла бочка, димила, під неї дівчина сиріла, під неї дівчина сиріла, під неї дівчина сиріла. Під неї дівчина сиділа, темні дні рученьки гріла, темні дні рученьки гріла. Під неї дівчина сиділа, темні дні рученьки гріла, темні дні рученьки гріла. Ой, руці, руці, ви мої, ой, руці, руці, ви мої, довго носили напої, довго носили напої. Ой, руці, руці, ви мої, довго носили напої, довго носили напої. Гарячу каву та ще чай, гарячу каву та ще чай. Грійся, Майдане, не скучай, грійся, Майдане, не скучай. Гарячу каву та ще чай, грійся, Майдане, не скучай, грійся, Майдане, не скучай. Горів у бочці цілий пень, горів у бочці цілий пень. Грілися люди цілий день, грілися люди цілий день. Горів у бочці цілий пень, грілися люди цілий день, грілися люди цілий день. Горіла бочка, палала, горіла бочка, палала, як Україна повстала, як Україна повстала. Горіла бочка, палала, як Україна повстала, як Україна повстала.
This song takes a traditional Ukrainian folk melody, but the traditional folk song is about a burning pine. This is about barrels of fires burning inside to warm the hands of protesters. Горіла бочка.
Every day, more Ukrainian soldiers are killed or wounded by Russian invaders. You can help wounded heroes by joining the Adopt-a-Soldier program of registered charity Ukraine War Amps. A small monthly donation goes very far for medical services and living expenses and creates a special bond between you and a wounded hero. 100% of your contribution goes to the soldier. Please, adopt a soldier today. Visit ukrainewaramps.ca or find us on Facebook.
Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Welcome to Knizhka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, Ukrainian stories in English.
In this edition of Knizhka Corner, we will be discussing Serhii Yakelchik's new book, The Conflict in Ukraine, What Everyone Needs to Know. Serhii Yakelchik's book is dedicated to the memory of his mother-in-law, Anna Yeremina, an ethnic Russian patriot of Ukraine. Even though she was a Russian speaker, Anna carefully followed the news about the conflict in Ukraine at her home in Kyiv until her very last day in 2014. Her intense Ukrainian patriotism was the inspiration for this book, which focuses on Ukraine's complex national and civic identity. Yakelchuk does not shy away from the complex realities of Ukraine. The very first section of his opening chapter asks the question, what is the Maidan, and what made it top news around the world? He explains the history of Kyiv's main plaza, Maidan Nezalezhnosti, Independence Square, as the focus of three rounds of protest which changed Ukraine's history forever. Student protests in 1990, before the fall of the Soviet Union, established the square as a protest venue. In 2004-2005, the Orange Revolution protested a rigged presidential election and resulted in the election of President Yushchenko, who had been poisoned by his political enemies. Finally, in 2013, a protest against the government's rejection of an association agreement with the European Union resulted in the impeachment of President Yanukovych, who later abandoned his country and fled to Russia. This led to new elections and the formation of an interim government in 2014. This relatively short book gives readers a great deal of detail about the history, geography, and political situation of Ukraine. After giving an overview of recent developments, including the annexation of Crimea by Russia and fighting in eastern Ukraine in the first chapter, the author goes on to prehistoric times to describe the genesis of these recent events. Subsequent chapters include The Land and the People, The Making of Modern Ukraine, Ukraine After Communism, The Orange Revolution and the Euromaidan, Russia's Annexation of the Crimea and the War in Donbass, and Building a New Ukraine in a Globalized World. Based on solid historical research, the conflict in Ukraine should be required reading for anyone interested in global issues in Eastern Europe. Yakelchuk's footnotes and bibliography, as well as his comprehensive chronology at the beginning of the book, speak to his commitment to presenting an accurate and realistic picture of the political situation in Ukraine. As a victim of Vladimir Putin's aggressive foreign policy, Ukraine finds itself in the midst of a war to defend its independence in the face of Russia's annexation of Crimea and brutal attacks by Russian-backed separatists in eastern Ukraine. Clearly, Putin and his government see Ukraine as a crucial battleground in Russia's historical struggle with the West and as a place where Russia must take the last stand. The conflict in Ukraine reveals that the current situation is not only a fight against Russian expansionism, but it is also a fight for the very soul of Ukraine. Against domestic corruption, bureaucratic incompetence, and financial mismanagement, Putin's accusations of domestic strife in Ukraine based on ethnic hatred are refuted by the author. He bluntly states that both Ukrainian-speaking and Russian-speaking Ukrainians are fighting against the separatists in Donbas. In fact, this conflict has increased Ukrainian civic pride and determination to retain its independence from Moscow and to restore its territorial integrity. The resolution to the conflict in Ukraine will not be easy, as can be seen in the final words of the book. The conflict can only be resolved in a wider international framework. Local peacekeeping in Ukraine is a global issue. Dr. Serhiy Yakelchuk received his BA from Kyiv University and an MA from the Ukrainian Academy of Sciences. He studied in Australia before coming to Canada in 1995. To do his PhD at the University of Alberta. He is currently teaching at the University of Victoria in British Columbia. He has written articles for periodicals such as Origins, Current Events in Historical Perspective, Perspectives on Europe, and The Washington Post. His books include Stalin's Citizens, Everyday Politics in the Wake of Total War, Ukraine, Birth of a Modern Nation, and Stalin's Empire of Memory, Russian-Ukrainian Relations in the Soviet Historical Imagination. The Conflict in Ukraine, What Everyone Needs to Know, is available at Chapters Indigo and Amazon.
Thanks, Myra. Join us again soon for another edition of Konishka Corner, book reviews by Myra Junik, here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Протекла, мов кров з ножа, по степу тонка межа, ліворуч битва, а справа бій, чигає смерть удалі голубі. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. На 100 бійців один наказ. День за днем, хто знає де, був наказ, і сотня йде. Крізь вогонь і куль політ, крізь вугілля і крізь граніт. Ми йдемо, одна сім'я, 100 бійців, і з ними я. Ні день за днем, заразом раз, на 100 бійців один наказ. З рубежу і на рубіж, з роздоріж до роздоріж, і так далі. Б'є. Вчора був, сьогодні є, а завтра хто знає, що буде там, за батьківщину життя віддам. Завтра я, а потім ти, хто знає як, та треба йти до бою зброю.
And a song called Stobiutsiu, which translates as 100 warriors, and that, of course, refers to the heavenly hundreds, the 100 civilians that were killed at the Maidan, which started the whole war. Now, you'll have recognized the melody of this song, the Ballad of the Green Berets, which is a patriotic song about the Green Berets, an elite special force in the U.S. Army. It was one of the few popular songs of the Vietnam War years to cast the military in a positive light, and in 1966 it became a major hit. Many cover versions have been produced since in different languages, with lyrics rewritten to reference local units in countries from Germany to the Netherlands, Italy, Sweden, South Africa, and others, and of course in 2015, this version in Ukraine. And this year, 2018, a Lithuanian version on a TV show in support of Ukraine. The American song, The Ballad of the Green Berets, was written by then Staff Sergeant Barry Sadler, who was training to be a Special Forces medic in the U.S. Army. The Ukrainian lyrics were written by Oleksa Nehrabitsky, vocals by Yulia Donchenko. And that song is dedicated to the memory of Andriy Ivanov, who was supported by the Ukraine War Amps through their Adopt a Soldier program. Unfortunately, he perished on July 13, 2018. Вечная память. And now for a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter based in Toronto, Ontario. This is Paulina, producer and host of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. The Felshtin Society is named after a Ukrainian shtetl called Felshtin, which today is the town of Hvardiske. The Felshtin Society began as a benevolent society organized in 1905 in New York City and is still active today. In 1919, after 600 Jews perished in a brutal pogrom which took place in Felshtin, the Society provided refuge and relief to the survivors. Next April, the Felshtin Society will hold commemorative events to mark the centenary of this tragic historical event. We first learned of these upcoming events, as well as the past events, last March, when we spoke with the president of the Felshtin Society, Alan Bernstein. Last week, Alan joined us to share some recent developments in their ongoing preparations, which the Society is very excited about. One of these is a connection with locals in Hvardiske, including a school principal and a Catholic priest, who are eager to join in this commemoration to help shed light on their town's Jewish past. In part two of this interview, Alan shares more details about this and other connections recently made. So you've been planning this. You said actually you started thinking about this 6 years ago, but plans have actually been going on for the past 2 years. And so you've got the location set and you've got the date set and you're planning the events as well. But you've had something, you recently put out this press release. So a really interesting and exciting development has happened in Ukraine. So tell us about the connection there.
Well, it's fascinating because we don't really know how it happened. So we're kind of doing our own private detective work, trying to have exactly how this came to pass. We suspect that one of our members, one of our Felshtiners, who actually was born in Felshtin and who grew up in Felshtin and whose family survived, even though they were Jewish, because they passed for Catholic. This lady, her name is Paulina Lerner, went back to visit Felshtin this past spring. And I believe it's as a result of her visit to Felshtin that the local Catholic priest got involved. And so I think that she happened to, when she was there, meet with the principal of the school, a fellow by the name of Yuri Fedorov. And they talked about what kind of sustained activities there could be that would bring the history, the full history of the town, to light for the school children. And they talked about the possibility of establishing a museum-type display in one of the corridors of the school where they have glass enclosed display cases. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do a visual depiction of what the town was like 100 years ago?
Wow.
And talk about the Jews and talk about how things came to pass. Now, they had that discussion. I believe that that discussion spilled over to the Catholic clergy.
Oh.
And then we got this wonderful letter from Father Peter, who said to us that we're going to have a memorial on the date of the pogrom, where we pledged to have 600 people with candles lit in the town.
Oh, wow.
And we think that's a very powerful thing, and it's a wonderful message for the town to send and for the church to become involved in, and for us to be able to feel that our ancestors will be remembered in that way.
Yes.
On that day. So it's a really wonderful thing, and we're hoping to be able to work with other priests in the local area and maybe even, you know, get it to spread a little bit. You know, for instance, Khmelnytsky, which is only about 12 or 15 miles away, mm-hmm. might be, you know, another town where we could attempt to reach out to the local clergy and see if they wouldn't participate. Khmelnytsky itself has a synagogue that we're establishing communications with, but we're hoping that the activity of Father Peter will spread to other communities
that suffered
similarly in those days.
Oh, yeah. What a great gesture of reconciliation. And
yes,
maybe we
think so.
Yeah, maybe can we heal the wounds of the past and move forward, as you know, I think people hoped over the centuries. So what is the name of this church?
It's St. Wojciech Parish.
Okay. And it's Roman Catholic?
Yes. And Father Peter is also inviting the Orthodox, the Eastern Orthodox clergy to participate as well.
Wow.
So it's not only going to be Catholic.
That's amazing.
And, you know, and of course, we're hoping that we're going to be able to get the synagogue and Khmelnytsky involved. And we'll see what happens. But it's a very, very, very wonderful and inspiring result. We've been reaching out to synagogues and Jewish organizations really pretty much all over the United States.
Uh-huh.
One at a time. It's not like we have a lot of staff. We have a few volunteers.
Sure.
And, you know, the people make calls and people don't get calls back. Everybody's busy.
Right.
You know, what is this all about? They don't really understand. And then we get a chance to tell people about what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, and so we're hoping that this kind of activity will begin to appear on a wider scale, even locally in the United States.
Yeah.
But we've already got commitments from some very significant organizations in New York City and in New Jersey and Massachusetts and Michigan and Wisconsin. We have some organizations in Cape Town, South Africa that are participating. And then, you know, Allison will tell you more about Project Kesher and how they're planning to participate with us. But we really felt that even though it's kind of a David and Goliath story, that it was up to us to try to carry the ball and raise some awareness of these events that took place 100 years ago that really should be remembered, that that there was blood spilled, and that it's important that we remember that and that we continue to stand up against this kind of hatred now and forever.
Absolutely.
So we feel that even if it's a small thing, whatever we're doing is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, well, if you don't understand your past, if you don't know where you came from, you won't know where you're going.
And, you know, you said something before that's really very true. And a fellow by the name of Tim Snyder wrote a book called The Black Earth.
Yes.
Which is an absolutely fascinating perspective on how the Holocaust developed in Eastern Europe. And his story is very, very akin to the kind of stories that emerged out of the pogroms, how the Germans were able to come into towns and enlist the assistance of local hooligans to run after Jews and others and perform mass murders way before the concentration camps were established.
Yeah.
You know, we see a great parallel between that and what happened in the Holocaust. And frankly, I think you're absolutely right that we see a great parallel to some of the things that are going on today throughout the world.
Yeah. And
we're concerned, and we're trying to use this event as a way of bringing forward some of these concerns in the light of history and in the light of what happened to our ancestors, and hopefully that there'll be some potential for healing.
And you know, and I agree. What you said really hit home was that these occupying forces come, you know, from outside, and they find the troublemakers to create more trouble. And if we don't know our past, any one of us could be those hooligans, or could be influenced by them to do wrong, to harm others where we normally wouldn't. And I think if we don't understand the stories of the past and recognize the patterns that cause these stories to repeat themselves, if we don't recognize those patterns within ourselves, then we can't hope to stop the pattern from repeating itself. So I congratulate the society for staying together for so long, for these over 100 years, and commemorating this event and educating the public with such a small group of dedicated people at the Felsten Society.
Well, we're doing the best we can. And it is an uphill battle, and
yes,
we are really David and Goliath. There is no question about it. But you know what? We're really, when we see this kind of thing happening, and when we see things like Project Kesher, and we can connect with them, and we see Father Peters taking a stand, and Yuri Fedorov and Felstein willing to embrace our story, it gives us tremendous energy to keep on and do what we can, continue to do what we can.
Well, and certainly we'll help you however we can to help get the word out, and hopefully speak with you again if there are any more developments. Perhaps we can connect up with Father Peter in Havardiska.
That would be wonderful. Wow.
It would. You mentioned the Project Kesher, and give us, I think we'll talk to Allison at length about that in a future episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on the show, but just give us an overview. What is Project Kesher?
It's 180 women's groups that are focused on trying to reestablish a Jewish heritage, to connect people, to form social networks of people who came from Jewish backgrounds. There are many people in Ukraine and in Eastern Europe who survived the Holocaust, who survived the pogroms, who survived communism, who survived all these horrible things over the past 100 years, and who have Jewish heritage in them, and who are trying to reclaim that, and who would like to reclaim that. So that's pretty much the impetus of their efforts. I'm sure Allison will be happy to tell you more about it and how they operate and where they operate, because with 180 groups, they're really, it's really amazing that they have so many groups. But it's kind of like when we were in Ukraine in 2010 to dedicate a monument in Felstein. It was a similar thing insofar as that in Khmelnytsky, for instance, there's a program called Hesed Besht, and it's a little community center. And the community center provides assistance if people need it. They have a clothing exchange. They have, you know, furniture exchange. They have a whole bunch of things, services that they provide to people in need. But it's outreach. So, you know, we didn't even know that they existed.
Wow.
Until we got to the synagogue itself, we really didn't understand what it was really all about. But there are Jewish people there. There are people who, you know, who are definitely interested in reclaiming their Jewish heritage. When we had a ceremony in 2010 to dedicate our monument in Felstein, there was a whole group of Jewish men who came so that we could have a minyan when we said the prayers over the stone. So it was really wonderful. And I think there's a lot more of that type of social activity that's going to be happening in the future.
I think so. And the work that you're doing certainly will be facilitating that, that's for sure. So thanks so much for telling us about your society, for sharing your story, and this wonderful development, which hopefully we'll be able to bring more information about the connection with the church and the original society of Felsten in Ukraine. So thanks so much, Alan, for joining us, and hope to talk to you again soon.
Well, thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to it.
I've been speaking with Alan Bernstein, president of the Felsten Society in New York. You can find the audio files and transcripts for both parts of this interview online at noshholos.com and ukrainianjewishencounter.org. For more information about Felshtin, the Felshtin Society, and next spring's upcoming centenary commemorations, please visit their website, www.felshtin.org. Thanks for listening. Until next time, shalom. Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more about their work, visit their website and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. Transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage are available at their website, UkrainianJewishEncounter.org, as well as at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Ви слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio Broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada for PCJ Radio.
Темная ніч, тільки гради свистять вдалині, без зупинок і без вихідних, лупить арта скажена. В цей пізній час ти, кохана, в Фейсбуці сидиш, видивляєшся вістки за то, молиш Бога за мене. Курва війна розлучила з тобою мене, але вона неодмінно колись скінчиться. Знаю тоді, знову ми, як колись, заживемо. Віра в це надихає мене, і загарбником биться. Нечисть повзе, вже осілася міцно в Криму, пошматовано рідний Донець, біль у душах стражденних. Так як колись мій дідуньо фашистів смалив, так і я за поребрик зжену окупантів мерзенних. Холод і сніг, бруд окопів у нігті проріз, і лиш у сні все ошатно і променисто. Хоч би на мить доторкнутись до тебе з дітьми, обійняти стареньких батьків, прогулятись по місту. Вже багатьох не побачиш у нашім строю, тіло в землі, але пам'ять про них не тлі. Низько вклонись всім загиблим в нерівнім бою, всім, хто душу і тіло поклав за твою Україну.
And that is one of many original songs from the ATO zone, the anti-terrorist zone, which is essentially the war zone in Ukraine. Many soldiers are very gifted and talented, and this, of course, has been going on since time immemorial. That song was called Temnaya Nich, performed by Mirko Sablich, and the title translates as Dark Night. Up next, one of the anthems of the Maidan, the traditional Ukrainian folk song, A Lament, that became popularized again after the Maidan, Pleva Kacha. And this rendition is by Inna Ishchenko. Listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting locally in Vancouver and Nanaimo, and in international syndication on PCJ Radio International. In between broadcasts, please visit us online at www.nashholos.com for transcripts, audio files, podcast links, and information about the show. I'd like to invite you to visit our Patreon site also, and you'll find a link there as well. As a patron, you'll have access to weekly playlists and proverbs, ebooks, merchandise, and more. If you'd like to extend season's greetings on Nash Holos this year, you'll find details there. Again, our website is www.nashholos.com. I love to hear from you, so please send your suggestions, dedications, and requests. Your comments are always welcome. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Слабей сильного не побідить. And our proverb of the week translates as, the weak cannot conquer the strong. Well, our time is about up, so to take us to the end of our program, we have Haida Make once more with Yichel Kozak na Vinonku, a Cossack went off to war. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobachenia.
Козак на війноньку, прощай, сказав дівчинонько, прощай, дівчино, чорнобривонько, їду в чужую сторононьку. Прощай, дівчино, чорнобривонько, їду в чужую сторононьку. Дай же, дівчино, пустину, може у бою загину. Темної ночі закриють очі, легше в могилі спочину. Темної ночі закриють очі, легше в могилі спочину.
up, pull the rug. I get up, stand up. I don't give up the fight. I get up, stand up. Stand up for the rug. I get up, stand up.
Stand up for your rights. I get up, stand up.